The House will proceed to the consideration of House Bill 1053 pursuant to the veto of the governor and the veto message as found in the House Journal as provided in Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution of the State of South Dakota.
Remarks then concerning the reconsideration of House Bill 1053 pursuant to the veto of the governor and his veto message as provided for in Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution of the State of South Dakota. Further remarks. Representative Broderick.
Mr. Speaker, may I speak to the veto message?
Yes, you may. And to the bill, if you wish.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I respectfully must disagree with the governor in his veto of House Bill 1053. And I would encourage you to join me in overriding the governor's veto for the following reasons. During testimony heard in the House Health and Human Services Committee meeting, we had a young lady who was an optometrist that shared with us a story. And it was a story about her husband and she having graduated from the same school of optometry. She went to work for the federal government and the Bureau of Indian Affairs as an optometrist. She could do in her job as a federal employee everything that's being asked for in House Bill 1053. Her husband set up a private practice in South Dakota and was limited in the scope of practice that he could do in his private practice because of the limitations in South Dakota law. Even though he had the identical training as his wife had, who was working for the federal government. This same example can be used with my local optometrist in Canton, who spent a career in the Army as an optometrist. He retired and came to Canton and bought out a local practice. He was limited in the scope of practice because of South Dakota law, not because of lack of training. He had training, he had experience, but South Dakota law limited what he could do. A question was raised recently, in fact earlier today, that people were opposed to this bill because of the older optometrists that had not been certified to prescribe oral medications. The older optometrists would not be covered under this bill unless they were certified. And in order to get certified, they have to go and take their training just like your new graduates are doing today. In addition to optometrists being able to practice what we're asking for in House Bill 1053, if they work for the federal government, if they happen to be residents in some 34 other states in South Dakota, they can practice and do exactly what this bill is calling for. It's not new, exciting legislation. We're not breaking new ground. Is what we're doing is allowing for optometrists who have been trained to do exactly what they've been trained for, and that is to prescribe and administer oral medications. I hope you will join me in overriding the governor's veto of House Bill 1053. Thank you very much.
Further remarks? Representative Hennings.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, 33 other states have the law that allows optometrists to prescribe oral medications. And I would just like to very briefly concur with Representative Broderick and urge you all to override this veto. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further remarks, Representative Altman.
Well, I rise in support of overriding the veto also. Yesterday, before I left, I went to my druggist to get a prescription filled, and I no more than walked into the door, and he jumped on me. He said, "Why would the governor veto such a bill?" I said, "I have no idea what his thoughts were." I said, "I haven't seen the veto message, and I hope I will see it when I get down here this morning or tomorrow." But he couldn't believe that that happened. He said, "These people have much more training than others that are now allowed to administer drugs," and he thought it was inappropriate. So I would urge you to override the veto.
Further remarks, Representative Cohen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, as an allied healthcare professional myself, I frequently have been subject to the standards of the alphabet, of not having the correct alphabet behind my name rather than appropriate training. This bill goes a long ways towards trying to fill some holes that we have in our rural environments where our individuals have to drive 40, 60, 80, 100 miles to get care. And it is not fair to them to remove an option of care within their own community. As an allied healthcare professional, I'm very comfortable with the optometrists taking upon this duty that they are already trained to do, and it will certainly help the people in my district, and I would urge you to override the governor's veto. Thank you.
Further remarks, Representative Early.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the body. I'd just like to share with you a personal observation I'd like to make, that I have a son who this week finishes 20 years of education, 4 years in medical school. He just took his boards of 2 days, and now he does 3 years of residency to be a general practitioner. I think after 3 years, then he can prescribe medication. And I think the general practitioners are the ones that should know what the regimen of drugs are that people are taking. I watched my mother take a handful of pills each day a couple of times. And now we're saying that someone else can prescribe another drug over here. Someone has to know what's in the one hand before you can prescribe the other. And I think that the family practice doctors are the ones that need to do that. Someone has to be overseeing this process. I urge you to vote to sustain the veto and do not put this into law. We do not need this. I think that those people who are trained after 7 years of medical school are the ones that should oversee the whole prescription process. Thank you.
Further remarks, Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen. A few weeks ago, when we first debated this bill on the floor, I rose in opposition to it and asked you to oppose it. I now rise and ask you to support the governor's veto. There's no question that the training of optometrists has significantly advanced in the last few years, but so has the use of drugs and the drugs available for prescription purposes. And I would just say that as a body whose responsibility is to help safeguard the health and safety of the people of South Dakota, we should proceed with caution whenever we're asked to expand the scope of practices of any professions, no matter how worthy that profession. And I think we should proceed with caution today. I sat on the Health and Human Services Committee, which heard this bill. I don't recall any consumers coming to us and telling us that there was an unmet need in South Dakota. We heard from optometrists who came to us and asked for permission for them to prescribe medications because they felt that it was within their scope of practice and within their training, but not the consumers. They are the ones who are told have unmet needs, and yet they did not come before us and present any evidence or testimony that their needs were being unmet. You know, I've listened very carefully over the last few weeks. You know, we hear a lot on television of various new drugs that are out there for anything, for hay fever or allergies or other kind of medical problems. And one of the interesting things that I'm hearing now is that they're listing all the potential side effects that may come with those drugs. And those side effects can be drowsiness, they can be upset stomachs, they can be much more serious than that. And I don't know why that the pharmacy or the drug companies are doing that now, if there's been a law passed at the federal level that I've missed, but they are giving the consumers a list of the possible side effects that may occur if they take these drugs. And they're saying in those ads, if you have any questions, consult your family physician or consult your physician. What we're doing now with this bill is really taking the physician out of this process. And we're giving to optometrists who frankly have far less training than physicians the ability to prescribe drugs which may have very powerful side effects, which when taken in combination with other drugs may very well be life-threatening or may other cause some very other serious side effects. I know this is a difficult issue, and I always hate when we have to get involved in disputes between two honorable professions, but the dispute is upon us, and I just think that for the health and safety of the people of South Dakota, that we should proceed with caution. And a cautious approach in this case would be to uphold the governor's veto and maintain the prescription writing ability with our physicians in South Dakota and not grant it to our optometrists. So I would urge you all to uphold the governor's veto in this case.
Further remarks, Representative Monroe.
I'll be brief, Mr. Speaker, but the same arguments that we've heard today, let's listen to the terms that we've heard. We've heard life-threatening. We've heard the term no training. We've heard the term health and safety. If you look over the past 6 years that I've been here and you look at the bills that have included any profession that's not major, the dentist, the optometrist, the nurse anesthetist, every profession, the three arguments are always the same. Someone's not educated enough, someone's going to get hurt sometime in the future maybe, and someone's going to die. Those are the same few arguments we hear all the time by the opponents of bills like this. Some would lead you to believe that if you don't have a particular membership in a particular profession, that for some reason you will forever be unable to make certain decisions because a certain body of knowledge is only found in that particular profession. That might have been true 20 or 30 years ago, but it's not nowadays. Many professions today are trained in many things that other professions are also trained in. If you look at the level of optometric pharmacology that optometrists have, it's far above the training that any other profession has in that area. If you look at the number of years they go to school, they go to school 4 years, and then they'll in college, and they'll go to another 4 years of optometric school, and then they'll go to another 3 or 4 years of internship if they're going to specialize in something, especially in another state where they're authorized to do things they're trained for. Many professions have 4 years of college and 4 years of professional school and 3 years of specialty like I have or like other doctors in this body have had. So I ask you to look past the standard arguments and go ahead and override the veto. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further remarks, Representative Siebert.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the body. We talk about who has the most education and pharmacology. And I'm looking at a sheet where actually both the medical profession and the optometry both have 120 hours. There is, however, some difference in the subjects that they take. And it appears to be that optometrists mostly deal with ocular if there's a difference in the two. And if we look at what we've given the dentists in our state, I have far less training than either of these professions. The public needs optometrists to prescribe oral drugs, and we have demonstrated, I believe, that there is safety in the process. We have in all the states around us except Minnesota, I believe, they can prescribe oral medicine. And I don't know why we sit here. I know that the government agencies, the pharmacists prescribe oral medicine, and I think the danger is basically been proven in other states that it's no different really than an MD, and they have their problems also. When we talk about other patients, the doctor knowing all the medicines that you have as a patient, people go to different doctors, and the first thing that you go when you're going to get medicine, he asks you if you are on any type of drugs. And I'm assuming that an optometrist would do the same. So I think we're taking care of some of those risks that we talk about and the dangers of them. And I urge you to support the veto of the bill.
Further remarks.
The veto, overturn the veto.
Representative Icarus.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the body, I spoke to you 5 weeks ago about this very issue, and I guess I'll speak to it again today. I would like to comment on a couple of remarks that Representative Early made. He made the comment that his son had finished medical school, and yet he wasn't done. He had another 3 years to go. And so why would that be? The medical profession had told Representative Early's son and everybody else who finished medical school with him that that wasn't enough training. And I think that those people were in a position to make that decision. If you want to talk about double standard like Representative Broderick does, the double standard is not necessarily just the optometrist who was able to practice at a VA or an Indian Health Hospital, but what if this bill were to pass? What is the double standard there then when Representative Early's son finishes medical school, has had 4 years of education after college, and then let's say somebody else's son goes to optometric school and has 4 years of college and 3 to 4 years of optometric school? If this bill passes, Representative Early's kid still can't prescribe medications for 3 more years. But someone who went to optometric school, someone else's son or daughter here, could. So there's a double standard on both sides on this issue. Representative Cohn had mentioned the issue of access, and that's legitimate in a rural state like ours. There's no question about that. But let me just give you a couple of numbers. The access in this state to a physician, and there are 1,339 licensed physicians in this state, and that's who is giving these drugs right now. Your family doctors, your pediatricians, your internists, your general practitioners in your small towns. There's 1,339 in 49 of our counties. There are slightly over 100 optometrists in 29 counties. So if we have any holes to fill, you know, I don't know where those holes are. They're being filled right now. And finally, as I said 5 weeks ago, people of good faith and goodwill and honest positions will argue that the care will be either worse, it'll be the same, but no one has argued that the care will be any better. So if there are no holes to fill, there's a double standard on both sides, and there's no evidence that not one patient is going to get better care, I would ask you to sustain the governor's veto and push the red button. Thank you.
Further remarks? Representative Fisher Clemens.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Fisher Clemens, maybe you can use either Representative Ketzel's or Representative Broderick's. Thank you.
This better?
Yes.
Thank you. We've been told today that we need to proceed with caution. I think we have proceeded with caution in this state. And when you consider that 34 other states have had to make this same decision, those optometrists were educated in other states. We don't have a school in this state. It's very hard for me to believe that the residents of 34 other states' quality of eye care is jeopardized by the fact that the optometrists in those 34 states are providing prescription medications, oral medications, and we are talking only oral medications. And remember, folks, that those people, those optometrists are already prescribing topicals and doing some providing those kinds of medications. What this is allows them to use a stronger cadre of medications to help take care of people's eyes without that person having to go seek additional medical care and treatment and increasing their cost for care. Representative Early has shared with you his comments about his son and that he's a general practitioner, and that a general practitioner is who should be in charge of the patient's cadre of medications. But I would contend, people, that that is not always the case. People, and you may all be in the same boat, we don't all see the same physician for every situation that we are involved in. As they mentioned, I may be seeing an OBGYN for one situation, I may be seeing an internist for another situation, and I may be seeing a GP for something else. All three of those providers may be prescribing medications for me. Who actually is in charge of what I'm taking? Me, the patient. I need to make sure that I keep the physicians that I see informed of what medications I'm taking, so that when they prescribe something in addition, that they know what could be counterproductive and counteractive. We've also heard that there, with new medications, that there are additional side effects, and that we need to be concerned about that. I would ask you, why would an optometrist jeopardize their professional practice in their communities by prescribing medications that are inappropriate for their patients? Why would they jeopardize their malpractice? Why would they jeopardize just their own practice in their communities? I would contend that they are educated, that they do know what they need to do, and they are not going to jeopardize the eyes of their patients by prescribing and authorizing use of medications that would be inappropriate for treatment. And with that, I would ask that you respectfully override the governor of the veto.
Further remarks, Representative Dunwald.
Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we've heard many, many good arguments on both sides of this subject. And there's no question in my mind that an ophthalmologist or a general practitioner probably is more knowledgeable as to the prescription that he would prescribe, the medication that he prescribes. But I think we're forgetting something. In a big section of this state, the choice is not between an optometrist or an ophthalmologist, or between an optometrist and a general practitioner. But for many of us, it's an option between an optometrist and a physician's assistant or a nurse practitioner, who have considerably less knowledge in the treatment of the eyes than the optometrist. And I just think, given the real world that we're living in, it would be better off for a big section of this state, consequently a big section of the population of this state, to give them the option to get those prescriptions filled by their optometrist when they're there with him, because they're obviously, he's treating their eyes. And so I'd ask you to push the red button and vote to override the veto.
Further remarks? Hearing none. The question before the House then is, shall House Bill 1053 pass, the veto of the governor notwithstanding? A green light will support the bill.